Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Epic Systems Corporation in Madison, working to improve healthcare quality and safety nationwide with its electronic health record software. On the web at epicsystems.com.
And welcome to the Midday with Vicki and Norman and the home of the 1230 quiz question. We've got some other things going on today, too, in our ongoing effort to keep things interesting for you.
We have a special guest in the studio, actually, a young musician named Nathaniel Bartlett. And thanks for stopping by. You're performing tonight in Madison and next week in Sturgeon Bay and touring around with your marimba.
And computer.
Yes. Now, doesn't that get a little crowded?
It does. And it takes me about, depending on the venue, how difficult it is to load in, load out, between, 2.5, 3.5 hours from when I pull up outside and when I'm ready to play.
It's kind of like a one-man band, isn't it?
No, it really is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Even if it's just the marimba, you're talking about a frame and all these separate bars that you have to place?
Yeah, the marimba itself was kind of bad enough, and I think I just got used to that, and so I slowly started to add a little bit, more electronic components, and then a computer, and 2 speakers, and then 4 speakers, and it just snowballed.
I noticed you didn't bring it with you today.
No.
But we do have the next best thing.
We do have a CD. Actually, it's your first CD. It's a special one, and it's SACD. Now, tell us what that is.
It's a hybrid multi-channel super audio CD. What that means is it's a disc that looks just like a CD, and you can play it on a normal CD player, but it's dual layer, and it has 3 versions of the album. It has a super high definition 5-channel surround version, a super high definition stereo version, and your normal CD version. So whether you're an audiophile that's sunk $250,000 into absolutely the highest quality gear and room to listen into, or you just have a $5 Discman and a pair of headphones, you can get as much out of the album as your gear will let you.
What is it, just play the track that is compatible with the equipment you're using?
Exactly, and you have an option, if you have an SACD player, of toggling back and forth between whether you want to listen to the surround or the stereo version.
Okay, it's a world of options, isn't it?
And it was especially important for this recording because the Vermont Counterpoint work and the 2 works with computer-generated sounds were originally composed for the surround format in that in the Vermont Counterpoint, I spatialize each of the marimba parts in a circle. So you're essentially in a circle of 11 marimbas, which really illuminates the counterpoint. Yeah. And in the computer pieces, the computer parts were originally written for surround, 4-channel surround sound. So I could record things in their natural habitat, so to speak.
Well, shall we get just a sample of what the computer, one of the computerized tracks sounds like then?
Well, your CD is called Precipice, which happens to be a piece by Alan Schindler here for marimba and computer-generated sounds.
Here's some of it. Well, it would be fun to see all of those parts, what they look like as well as what they sound like, but they sound very interesting, especially if you have something that'll surround you with sound.
And I'm curious, who generated those? sounds.
The composer, Alan Schindler, is a professor of composition at the Eastman School of Music, and he's also the director of the Eastman Computer Music Center, and all those sounds were generated by the composer.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a kit. It goes with the piece. You have the music in front of you for the marimba.
And absolutely. And in fact, the score is rather beautiful, where the computer part is in part notated, mostly in a graphic format. I mean, you have to kind of create a visual analog to the sound you're hearing so the performer can follow along with the computer part.
Fascinating. Must be...
No, as if just hitting all the right tones isn't enough. You have these other components that you have to deal with, too.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, this sort of technology has gone on for a very long time, in one form or another, better part of 100 years.
Yes, and of course, you know, its antecedent is mechanical music.
Yeah.
You play your pianos and various kinds of devices.
Sure. Back in Mozart's time.
Sure, yeah. Mozart, Beethoven, and Haydn all wrote for mechanical devices.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they come and go, but these have been with us for a while, and they do have an ambiance all their own.
Mm-hmm.
So you studied at Eastman.
Yes.
Was Mr. Schindler there at that time?
Absolutely, that's where I first met him. I started to take some of the computer music courses in the studio, which is, you know, open to all the students, not just specifically the composition students. And it was, I was studying percussion at Eastman and computer music because it was, you could really purely manipulate sound and timbre much in a similar way that you might in a multiple percussion setup. So I felt very at ease with that kind of music, and it was very similar to what I was doing.
Well, what is the setup then for Vermont Counterpoint? You've mentioned this before, and we want to hear the whole piece. It's about 11 minutes, I think, but it'll take a little bit of, I think, explanation in terms of, is this the piece you say we're in the center of it?
Yes. The way this was conceived of as a surround recording, basically it's you'll hear that it starts with one marimba, and then a second part is added, and parts throughout the course of the piece, you know, bulks up to 11 parts and then thins down and then, you know, adds more parts. So it's a very dense material. And when you spatialize something, it creates the kind of psychoacoustic effect of your brain is able to understand those two parts much better than if they were coming from the same location. So,
makes sense.
A way of kind of untangling the wrangle of voices was to put them in their own physical region of space. Mm-hmm. And with stereo speakers, you can spatialize it in left to right stereo field, which the listeners will hear. And in the surround context, you can increase that effect, you know, tenfold almost when you have it in the surround. So you hear the first voice in the surround version comes from directly behind you. Then the next voice is directly in front of you, and things fill in, giving each instrument as much space as possible.
Got everything but above and below.
That's right. Oh, that will be, you know, forthcoming. The next step, all these works were spatialized using a technique called ambisonics, which can actually be decoded for a 8-speaker cuboid array where you get full three-dimensionality.
Wow.
All right, now this, by the way, originally was written for wind instruments, right?
Yes, there are piccolos, flutes, and alto flutes. And one of the big reasons to go the surround route is to make this work on marimba, because the marimba, you know, rings after it is struck. In order for there not to be a cacophony, both the surround and the super high definition format really untangles it and makes it, absolutely brings clarity to it.
I'm curious if there's any significance to the Vermont part of the title.
Apparently, it was composed during a composer's stay in Vermont, and I believe that's the connection. But don't hold me down to that.
And who is the composer?
Steve Reich. Thank you.
A little bit afterward. You can't just come in right after that. It's somehow it needs that afterglow.
Mm-hmm. There's 11 marimbas represented there in Vermont Counterpoint by Steve Reich, played by Nathaniel Bartlett, our guest today. And we were talking a little bit about the marimba itself, and maybe a little lesson here for us all about the marimba and how you tune it, and a few technical details.
Yeah, sure. The bars, the instrument I play is 5 octaves, goes all the way back to the top C, so there's 61 bars. They're made out of Honduras rosewood, which is just about the perfect wood for it because of its density and hardness. If you were to make the bars out of something else, they just wouldn't have that kind of ringing property. So there are the bars, and they are tuned by grinding off wood in particular places on the underside of the bar. And depending on where and how much you grind off the bottom of the bar, you can not only affect the fundamental, but also the overtone spectrum. And over the years, the tuning has gotten more sophisticated, where you can tune the fundamental, a first overtone, and a second overtone. And it's difficult because no matter where you shave wood, you affect all of them, but one in particular. So it's kind of three people jumping out of an airplane and trying to get them, you know, to land together.
Kind of imagine a little bit like chair legs, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah, you could get to a point where you have nothing left but this little sliver.
Order another one.
Right. Yeah, so, mm-hmm. And then from there, under each of the bars hangs a tube called a resonator, which does exactly what the name suggests, which is resonate the bar. And depending on, if everyone remembers high school physics, depending on the humidity and the air pressure and temperature, you need a longer or shorter column of air to resonate that frequency. And so there's a plunger, and you can move it in and out.
It's adjustable.
Exactly, like you would see on certain closed pipe organ stops.
Mm. So what's the difference between a marimba and a vibraphone?
Well, the marimba, as I mentioned, is made out of Honduras rosewood, and vibraphones are essentially varying kinds of aluminum alloy. And sometimes the bars are coated with a kind of a gold brass type texture, but it's still aluminum underneath. So there's that, but there's also leaves, or what kind of look like silver dollars at the top of the resonator that spin around, opening and closing the resonator, so it gives that vibrato effect, hence the name vibraphone or vibraharp.
So what instrument would a potential marimba player start with? You can't just go over to your local music store and pick up a starter marimba, can you?
No, you can't, a starter marimba, but it would generally be possibly a synthetic instrument. Instead of rosewood bars, it might be a various kind of fiberglass or plastic. There's every company has different names, like Keylon and Acoustalon. They have their kind of trademark name for their...
For the materials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it would definitely be of a smaller range, perhaps 3 octaves, like a vibraphone, or 4 octaves, as opposed to the full 5-octave instrument.
Just to learn how to work those mallets and hit the right notes and...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Quite amazing.
and generally, I perform, almost all the repertoire I perform is for 4 mallets, 2 mallets in each hand. But, of course, you start with 2 mallets.
That'd be enough.
That would be enough. Challenging for some.
Well, we're going to go to our quiz question here in about a minute. But between now and then, we should find out a little bit about the first piece on this disc, which we'll be hearing at 12:30 or so, and this is by Philip Glass. So this is a composer I would kind of expect to write for this sort of technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's called Opening.
Yes, Opening is the first piece on his very famous album Glassworks, and it's for solo piano, and it's one of the many pieces that completely unaltered works on a technical level, in that I can play all the notes properly as on the score, but also from a musical standpoint also works very well. So this serves as the prelude for my album, and I wanted it to have, the album in general, a shape and form to it, as opposed to a collection of random works. So it has a prelude, interlude, and a postlude, between which are 2 featured works, and this is the prelude.
And I just wanted to mention quickly that, what's your plan for the concerts that you're playing tonight in Madison at the Unitarian Society and next Friday night in Sturgeon Bay? Is that right?
Yeah, the repertoire for those concerts will include a large part of what's on the record, the first 3 pieces, part of the 4th piece, and then some repertoire that's not on the record.
Sounds fair.
Yeah.
Great. Well, our guest has been Nathaniel Bartlett, and
thanks for stopping by.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's been a lot of information to absorb there, and some great music, too. Next stop, the 12:30 quiz question, and Philip Glass, as we continue with the midday here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hi there, this is Bo McLaughlin of Exploring Music. This week, we're exploring the theme, the Bard.